Well, good morning, everybody. Lower this down just a touch. So what book are we in? Good morning. Joel, good job. We're in Joel. And I always give you a certain degree of review. So if you, even if you were lost, we will bring you back to where we're going. I had to recalibrate myself. I was thinking that we could knock Joel out in just maybe two Sundays, right? What? Well, that was maybe optimistic. I'm going to try to finish chapter one this week. You know, when you start digging into the content, it tends to have more meat to it than you might think. So I'd rather give to you what, anyway. Let's open in a word of prayer, and we will dive into Joel chapter 1. Heavenly Father, we thank you for, Lord, your love for us. Lord, not that we're deserving. Lord, not because of our service, but just by your grace. Lord, we ask that our heart would turn towards the great work you did at Bethlehem and at Calvary. Lord, may we be thankful that the presence you gave us, and may we give to others, not only during this season, but always, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever caught yourself thinking just how disappointed you're in and how America's going? Does disappointed kind of cover it? Brother, what word would you use, Mark? Mm. Yeah. 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 I never seemed to, at least in the '80s, when I accepted Christ when I was a junior high school. But I, in 74, I started getting involved in a Baptist church. I grew up in a non-Christian home, and so. The very first Christian book I ever read was a prophecy book, as Brother Mark mentioned. It was The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey. Okay? I actually went to a youth rally where I actually heard him speak. And so apocalyptic things have always played a key role in my Christian life. It's been a thread that's been going through. Even coming here, Pastor Gilchrist used to be a prophecy evangelist. He would go and hold sessions on future events. But as I look at America, the head of the Democratic Convention, Democratic Party, was at a meeting this last week. And he made a statement to these folks. It was at a university. The real problem the Democratic Party has is three things. And one of them are those pesky churches, okay? And as if people listening on Sunday is broken, it causes them to be stupid. It causes them to be unwise. But Mark, you hit it right on the head. The issues we're talking about with you and me and our culture are moral issues, are God's law issues, okay? It isn't whether we're going to have Social Security. It isn't whether we're going to have welfare. It has whether we're going to murder a million a year, or we are going to require everyone And this poor teacher had a girl in his class, and she had, her family had declared her a transgen. Okay, so once a person declares being a transgen, no matter what they look like, you have to refer to them as a he or a she, not an it, not what they biologically are. And this person lost his job over it. Lost his job over it. The world, when we look at the minor prophets, they looked out. I believe all of these men were broken men, broken because of the time and their culture. And God selected a few to carry a vital message. Hosea was literally called to live a life that reflected Israel's spiritual life with God. A wife that didn't really love him. Children, he did not know who their fathers were. Joel was called with a different message. So here we are, Hosea. Woo! We've made it to the second one, Joel. Okay? And what did we talk about last week at the very end of the book of Hosea? What did we talk about? There were two descriptions. The scent of what? Scent of Lebanon, and then basically the taste or scent of Lebanese wine. How many of you are really touched by smell? Okay. Don't laugh. There are a few of us. Poor Mrs. Warner, if there's a wash rag anywhere in the house that's a little mature, okay, I can't have it. Okay. Memories are sealed by scent. Okay? They really are. Every time I go into my grandfather's house where my aunt lives, it always smells the same. Everything comes crashing back. I bought my dad's pickup truck because he smoked in it all the time. And the scent, the stink, but it reminded me of him. The scent. Remember why the cedar of Lebanon was such a bouquet, why it smelled so cool? Remember we talked about it last week. It's a very large tree, but it not like our redwoods, okay? But it actually has male cones and female cones. And these male cones literally blast out like lodgepole pine. You ever been in the forest when lodgepole pine blossoms and it rains? You can literally see the yellow on the ground. That pollen gives you such a scent that you can't avoid it. I was hoping this tree would smell better than we have for the play tonight, but it... And the cedars of Lebanon, where were the cedars used? Remember? We talked about that last week. Cedars? What? In the temple, David literally went to the king of Tyre and says, I need cedar trees. But he also built his house out of them. Imagine living in a cedar chest. What? You wouldn't have to worry about any, you know, moths or anything, right? And the wine of Lebanon, by the way, the wine of Lebanon, some people literally believe that winemaking, as we conceive of it, was invented there in the Baca Valley. Now, to me, the Baca Valley is where Syria and the Israelis fought. It's a place you don't want to go there because Hezbollah runs there. But it makes some of the finest wine in the world. It's so rare, most people don't even know about it. And in the time of which Hosea was writing, if you could afford it, that's where you wanted your wine to come from. And then ultimately, the end of the book of Hosea, Imagine for a moment that you buy a car and then you got to go pay somebody else to get it back after somebody steals it. Okay? Out at Hanford, we bought a facility that was supposed to have these two wings made out of trailers, and then we would assemble them. Halfway through, we said, we don't need one of the wings. The company that was building both of the wings said, well, we're going to have to declare bankruptcy. So DOE had paid for one wing already and at the end was going to pay for the other. Well, since they declared bankruptcy, we had to pay twice the amount for getting half as much. We had to rebuy it out of bankruptcy. Another one of those great government decisions. Okay? How would you have liked to have been Hosea? You marry your wife, she runs off, and then you have to redeem her. But the truth of the matter is, you and I in this room have more in common with Gomer than we might think. The God gave us our life, gave us breath to live, but then he redeemed us, bought us back. That's what redemption's all about. Bought out of the slave market of sin. Just like Gomer. Joel, if there was one series of words that define the book of Joel, it's only three chapters long, it's the day of the Lord. Remember we talked a little bit, Joel's name is Jehovah is God. The picture I put up here, Tossett, who was a late 1800s, early 1900s painter, painted over 200 Bible scenes on a tour. He was a well-known French painter. And on a tour, he painted these 200 Bible scenes. All of those are in the possession of the Brooklyn Museum. They're watercolors, so they can't have them all out and they fade. So some of them are faded really bad. But he literally made a painting of every single person of all the minor prophets. Okay? This was his view, and it's consistent with some historical opinions about Jehovah. Joel. He was an older man. Jewish history, you might call it, or tradition. He was an older man and called to speak. Have you ever noticed sometimes older men are not quite as tactful as you would like? You ever notice that? Why do you think that's true? Anybody? Brother Bob? Oh, no, I was just wondering if you had an idea of why maybe you and I are not as tactful as we once were. Maybe you are tactful. Oh, no, I don't mean to. Well, yeah, the issue is what's important. Okay? The issue is what's important. We could play faulty all around, but the issue, sometimes moral, sometimes contractual, sometimes just obedient. Children, sometimes we're not as patient as perhaps we would like to be. Maria knows me. I'm getting worse as the days go by. I had an insurance agent that went a little on the side, and I went and talked to her boss. But the point is, Joel saw problems in his country, and he spoke to Judah, all right? And remember, we had an issue of when he spoke. Why do you when did Joel speak? When did Joel speak? Remember, we talked about it. There are some people, if you take a look, that believe Joel was basically about the same time as Malachi. Was the last of the minor prophets. I do not hold that position. The Jewish tradition doesn't hold that opinion, and what I would call fundamental Bible scholars don't hold that opinion. They say that he spoke probably as the first. All right? There was a period of time in the nation of Judah where there was not a king. In fact, it was a queen in charge. And when we read the book of Joel, the king is never mentioned. So, that's important from a perspective How many of you have ever studied concepts of Bible interpretation? How do you interpret the Scriptures? Study to show thyself, unto God, a workman that is not to be ashamed, rightly doing what? Dividing the word of truth. That there are parts in the Scripture that you have to study, you have to work on before you can carve the real line where it's supposed to be. So there are consistencies or things people do to make sure their interpretation is consistent. All right? One of those is called the law of first mention. There are 31 times mentioned in the Scriptures the day of the Lord is mentioned. 31 times. So if you wanted to understand the concept of the day of the Lord, what would you do? What? Find the first ones. The truth is, you could read all of them, all right? They all have context, all right? So there's message here. How do we interpret the Scriptures? Find where it's first mentioned, all right? So if Joel is one of the first mentions of things, then it's highly likely that that is the first mention, all right? Now, here's Joel around 835. He spoke to Judah. 835, he is a contemporary of Elisha. So when you read Elijah and then he's taken up in the whirlwind and the mantle falls on Elisha, this is the time period of Israel that we're talking about. All right? 830 BC, the fall of the northern kingdom is about 100 years away. And about 200 years, 250 years from when the fall of the southern kingdom. Now, we've seen this picture before. What does this picture indicate? We've talked about this before. Anybody? Brother. Oh, Bob? Okay. Yeah, most prophecies or many prophecies have a near meaning and a far meaning. All right? Not all, but many. So I can say something that has a direct application today, but in the future there's more. In the future it tells me something. All right? We're going to see when we talk about the day of the Lord that this be true. All right? Now, Joel in chapter 1 talks about two key things. The past day of the locust, and he'll also, towards the end of this chapter, talk about the past day of drought. Now, how many of you have ever been in a locust infestation? Anybody? Locusts. Nobody? How about a drought? Wait a minute. A drought. We're in the Tri-Cities. We got enough canals. We got enough Columbia River water. We're talking drought. In Israel, they had none of these. Imagine for a moment that the winter wheat sprouts in the spring, in the fall, but there isn't enough moisture in the ground, and it never goes anywhere. So the palouse being nice and golden come, August, doesn't happen. All right? Now, let's start with Joel Chapter 1, verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Now, Pethuel, we do not know who that, this is the only time that name's mentioned in the Old Testament. All we know is that word, the name, means enlarged of God. All right? Hear this, ye old men. Bob, here we are again. Okay? Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in our days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. So what's the message here? What I'm going to tell you, you need to remind everybody. You need to tell everybody. Now, as a parent, what are some of your responsibilities? Brother Mark, as a parent, tell me some of your responsibilities, especially to your children. Oh, okay. So live right and teach right. From a spiritual perspective, brother, what are some of your responsibilities? Okay. All right. What other spiritual things? See, there are some parents that have a misconception that they believe the church is responsible for teaching children, their children. Who's responsible for teaching their children? They are. God will hold them accountable, and more than anything, the fathers. Because fathers set the tone in the house. Fathers support the spouse, the wife. Women are what in accordance with the scriptures? The helpmeet. There are many women across America that are carrying the water of Christianity in their homes. Those women are standing tall in a dark day, and their husbands have washed their hands of it. Not right. Here we have Joel. This was a horrible thing that came upon us, and I want you to remember. I want not only you to remember, but I want your children to remember, your grandchildren to remember, and I want you to mark it down so hard that even future generations remember. We have some truths like that in America. They're sealed in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence. We have responsibilities to teach. It just so happens in verse 4, this is what he wants everybody to remember. That which the palmer worm hath left hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust had left hath the canker worm eaten. And that which the canker worm hath left, the caterpillar has eaten. Now, since none of you have ever been in a locust infestation, that verse probably goes, what? I do not understand. Well, it just so happens you're not the only one. There are many people that find that a very difficult verse. When the King James translators, they picked creatures that were directly applicable to the words that God wrote down. Gazam, all right, the devourer, the kind of locust. They could have just as easily used the things that the devourer has left. And they had a thing called a palmer worm, arbeh. The locust is the rapid increase. It's a grasshopper or locust. It's used some other times, and not just here. So is palmer worm. And then yak, the devourer, specifically the young locust, a canker worm or caterpillar. And then that, the ravager. Now, how do grasshoppers grow? Anybody? We kind of live in a world that's kind of free of them, okay? But when you're talking about the Bible, God uses lots of examples that may be of value. How do grasshoppers grow, brother? In the ground? Yep. Or if they're tilled up, they die, okay? But the eggs will come out, all right? They will come out, little small grassy hoppers, and they will start eating things. And they will get bigger, all right? But also, if there's enough of them, something else happens. Locusts are not some strange kind of grasshopper. They are just grasshoppers that have lots of friends around them. And as they bump into each other, they actually start triggering pheromones, all right? Let's say we're grasshoppers there, Pete. And I bump into you, wait a minute. You're eating my food. I need to get bigger. And biologically, they start growing much larger. They get bigger, 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 okay? And it just so happens, they can't just eat in one place, so they start doing what? They start moving, okay? Well, it just so happens, this is Africa 2013. Ooh, how would you like to go out your door and see that? Your lawn gets eaten. Your vegetables get eaten. Your flowers get eaten. Okay? And that's the desert locust. Notice they even change color. They start actually changing color to a more golden color. All right? Now, that's the African locust. Rick, locusts only happen in Africa. Let's try this. Oh, this is in Australia, 2010. Queensland. Any of you want to go to Australia? Pick the right time of year. Okay? All right? Now, how many of you studied Mormonism or the Latter-day Saints? They have a miracle in their past. All right? They have a miracle in their past. At least they believe so. It's called these little Mormon crickets. These guys don't have any wings. They don't fly. But that picture is not from 1848. That picture was in 2016. They get small infestations of these little, they're like crickets. And these guys will eat just like locusts do. Well, when the LDS, the Mormon, got in 1848, they actually started their first crop and it was coming up. These crickets had a massive infestation. And they were gonna starve to death. And the gulls off the Great Salt Lake came in and ate tons and tons of them. And thus they attribute that to God's action for them. But massive bug infestations in the United States was happening basically all the way up until about 1900. All right? Now, how many of you have ever heard of this critter? Better, the last one died in 1902, I think. All right? But imagine, for instance, the largest bug infestation in the history of man. Go to Guinness Book of World Records. The infestation of 1875 was so massive that people in Kansas and Nebraska moved away just to survive. If any of you ever study your genealogy and people who settled there, all right, actually moved back towards Missouri and farther east. They said going out west isn't so bad. But imagine an infestation the size of California comes out of the Rocky Mountains and moves east and makes it all the way to Portland, Maine. I'm glad they're all dead. During this period of time, it was during the Ulysses S. Grant was president. He called for a National Day of Prayer. You had governors calling for a National Day of Prayer. In Minnesota, they required every single human being to spend 2 hours a day picking and smashing bugs from the youngest child to the oldest person. If not, they got fined. You want to know how bad it was? This is what they were doing. They had to save their food or they were going to die. All right? And then what do you do with smashed bugs? Yeah, burn them up. Okay? But it was so bad that the Transcontinental Railway couldn't go anymore. It had smashed so many locusts on the rails, the wheels wouldn't stick. All right? Oh, you want to know how bad it was? This is how bad it was. They finished eating all the plant life. Then they started on leather, the clothes the people were wearing, and the wool on the sheep. Okay? How would you like to be picking these guys while they're eating on your clothes? Okay? That's a locust infestation. Okay? Yeah, 1902. By the way, these died off, and then about after 10 years, people said, well, when's the locust coming back? And they were all gone. How many times have you prayed for something and got it, but you never remembered that you'd prayed for it? America is just the same. They prayed to make the locusts go away. God did. And they didn't remember because they were gone so fast, no one had any real examples of them. The only real examples we have are found in this glacier up in Glacier National Park. It's called Grasshopper Glacier. Mark, you love going off into the outback, okay? Me, if I can't drive to it, ain't worth going to. But this is about a two-day journey to get up to Grasshopper Glacier, and you have literal examples of them that you can take out of the glacier. An extinct species that died out basically by 1902. In effect, making America the beautiful place that it is. Because people prayed to make the locusts go away. In Israel, what didn't the nation do normally? Let's read on. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep, and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation has come up on my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and who hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. Where's my cheek teeth? Wait a minute. I had a picture. Anyway, where do you think the cheek teeth of a lion are? Cheek teeth. Ah, right. Now, I saw a young man who thought himself rather conceited at a zoo one time, and he didn't like the way the lion was just sitting there calm and peaceful. So he went up to the fence. It was a double fence, but he went up onto the fence and went, bang, 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 bang. What do you think happened?
He got a response.
The lion jumped at the fence, claws out. Ah, okay. The young man decidedly was put in his place. But imagine for a moment a lion's mouth and you get to see his cheek teeth. Ah, that's like the last thing you get to see before the lights go out, okay? And he hath cheek teeth of a great lion, and he hath laid my vine waste and barked my fig tree, which means taking all the bark off the fig tree. By the way, the locust in the 1875 thing ate all the bark off the trees. Trees that couldn't remake their bark died. So it was a longer impact. And the branches thereof are made white. Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. The meat offering and the drink offering are cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests and the Lord's ministers do what? What's missing from that? The people, the priests, what's missing? There's no king. No king is mentioned at all. There's no king mentioned at all in Joel. The field is wasted, the land mourneth, for the corn is wasted, and the new wine is dried up, the oil languish. Be ye ashamed, O husbandmen, howl, O ye vine dressers, for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. There are some photographs from locust infestations after it's done. Honestly, the truth is, if we could get them to come in the fall to take all the leaves away, we'd be good. Okay, but the land, all you have is nubbins left. The land is completely clean. All the grass, all anything green. And once they stop eating that, that's when they go to these other things. All right? The vine is dried up, the fig tree languished, and the pomegranate tree, the palm tree also. Imagine a palm tree, the tops of palm trees eaten off. Any of you ever touch a palm tree before? that bark is pretty hard, pretty gnarly, okay? The palm tree and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Gird yourselves and lament, ye priests. Howl, ye ministers of the altar. Come, lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God. For the meat offering, the drink offering, is withholden from the house of God. Sanctify ye a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. Remember the principle that you have from Hosea is carried on here. When disaster strikes, where do you look first? Inside. Inside. Whether it's your private life or your national life, you look inside. Verse 15, alas for the day of the Lord is at hand. And as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. These locusts, what could the people have done in Hosea, in the minor prophet's time to stop a locust infestation? What could they do? Nothing. There were an army without number, an army that ate everything in its path. They could do nothing. They didn't have insecticides. They didn't have bioengineered other critters, mites and other things. Wow, I don't have time. What I'm going to do is finish this here, and next week I'm going to get back. I've got a lot of information about the day of the Lord, and that's what we'll talk about next week, okay? I could stop here, but I don't have time to cover it well. I want to take us through some of the verses of the day of the Lord. Here we have three chapters in Joel and four mentions out of 31 of the day of the Lord. Zephaniah is the one who mentions the most. It has nine mentions in it, the day of the Lord. So we're going to take a look from Old and New Testaments about that. So let's push on here. It is not the meat cut off before our eyes, yea, joy and gladness from the house of our God. The seed is rotten under their clods, the garners are laid desolate, and the barns are broken down, for the corn is withered. How do the beasts groan, and the herds of cattle are perplexed, because they have no pasture? Yea, the flocks of sheep are made desolate. Remember what I told you about the locust infestation? They're munching on them. Now, take a look at that. That's a drought. Okay? That's a drought. A drought is a bad thing. A drought when there's no water. Bob, you raised cattle most of your life, right? Okay? Did they ever complain when you didn't feed them? Start bellering? You know, can you imagine all your animals? Remember what these people did. Most of these were brought into the home where these people were at, and if they had no feed, imagine the right next to where you're sleeping. I don't know what they sound like. I'm a city kid, so I kind of make believe what they sound like. Actually, my grandfather was a dairy farmer, and after shoveling out the dairy, I realized that I needed to be something different than a dairy farmer. So, how the beasts groan, the herds of cattle are perplexed, because they have no pasture. Yea, the flocks of the sheep are made desolate. O Lord, to thee will I cry, for the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame hath burned all the trees of the field. The beasts of the field cry unto thee, for the rivers of water are dried up, and the fire hath devoured the pasture of the wilderness. What happens as soon as you have a drought? What's the next thing that happens? Fire. Fire. California is a perfect example. They've been having some years of drought, and these massive forest fires are fallout of some of that. Please pray for those folks. It's a horrible thing to lose everything, to lose all your history. Well, Chapter 1, we'll talk about the day of the Lord next week. Do you have any questions? Anything so far? Okay. Let's close in a word of prayer. And Merry Christmas to you all. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the book of Joel. Lord, he spoke of the past, but of the present and of the future. Lord, may we realize that you occupy all time and know all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everybody.